Ball Spark.
You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Oh, man, what's going on here? Trying to get...
Technical difficulties there?
Yeah, what's wrong with my internet? Anyhow, I'll get that fixed. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got all kinds of things to talk about today. I saw a list yesterday on ESPN.com. It was ranking the 32 NFL teams for the next 3 years.
Okay.
So you kind of got to take like cap considerations, youth versus age, that kind of thing, right, and all that into one ball of wax. I was super interested, or surprised, I guess, at who was number two. I feel like everybody listening could probably name who was number one for the next 3 years in the NFL. Number two was pretty surprising to me. And then after that, it was kind of hit and miss for who I would have thought without ever looking at the list. So we'll talk about that. Game six of the NBA Finals last night, and the Milwaukee Bucks are the NBA champs for the first time in 50 years. It was pretty symmetric with 50 years since they had won and Giannis dropping 50 in the closeout game. Talk a lot about him. Do you have a comp? Who is your comp for Giannis Antetokounmpo? Think about that. Refreshing to watch that happen last night with a couple of teams battling it out, not super teams. Refreshing to see somebody stay put, not take the easy way out. It's funny, he actually mentioned that in his postgame stuff. What's next for Phoenix? What's next for Chris Paul? And just wide-ranging topics on the Game 6 and the NBA Finals, the NBA Finals itself, Giannis, and then moving forward. Of course, the draft is a week from tomorrow. That's when Oklahoma City gets back into the NBA swing of things with the NBA draft. Something happened over in Japan that was just sweet music to my ears, and I hate to say this. I hate to root against any American team, but I'm going to. And what happened over there in Japan is awesome. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that. Taylor Varnell just called up to Double A Birmingham in the Chicago White Sox organization. He went out last night through a gym. We'll talk about that. OGA State Amateur Golf Tournament taking place right now at Cedar Ridge in Tulsa. It is the I figured out what I did. Semifinals right now going on. Western Oklahoma, Northwestern Oklahoma, well represented in the OGA State Am semifinals. We'll talk about who's on the golf course, what they've done so far this week. And look ahead to next week. We're going to have a PGA Tour Pro right here in studio. We'll tell you who that is. And another guy from Western Oklahoma. Taylor Varnell's doing well in professional sports. Another guy's going to make his PGA Tour debut as a professional tomorrow up in Minnesota. It's all kinds of stuff. Local, international, national. That's what we do here. Got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Know it's getting close when we're trying to find the schedule that we got sent back in April, as we were yesterday, kind of mapping out where we're going. It's not, like, imminent because I haven't started looking for restaurant stops on the road trips, but it's getting pretty close. So we'll have football, high school football, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, and also the Skinny on Sports podcast if you missed the show.
One trip, we might be looking for a hotel room. 3 hours one way.
All I can tell you is you got to hope that the wind is out of the north, I think.
When you, at that field or...
Yeah, or in that town.
Or for just to drive home, to get us home.
Probably both.
Feels like we're getting home quicker.
Probably both because it can smell from the pig farms around there.
Right.
Is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's been so long since I've been up there for a football game.
I think last time I was there for a football game was 1997.
We are, by the way, talking about Guymon. I think it's pretty obvious.
1997, and you know what?
What?
It was maybe the turning point in that junior season. You know why?
Why is that?
Richard De La Rosa broke his collarbone on a late hit out of bounds on a play that was going to be called back for a holding penalty anyway. And he was not on the field over at Milam Stadium later on that year in the state title game against the Clinton Red Tornadoes.
It was.
Don't know if it mattered that much with the way that game went, but it certainly wasn't positive.
It was 1999, if my math is correct, last time I was there.
97 for me.
It's when I had to go, and that was my sophomore year. My senior year, didn't have to go, and I opted out, stayed home. It was the first game I'd miss in my 4 years in high school.
Hoping we'll be inside.
Sorry?
I'm just hoping we'll be inside.
Oh, right. Well, at least it's early in the year.
You know.
I know we're on the high plains there with the wind, and I know what
you're,
I know what you're talking about.
I hate to root for something this early in the season before it even starts, but, you know, that is a non-district game. So do you have to play a quarter before it counts?
You're hoping for, like, rain or something?
Yeah, like thunder, like lightning. Oh, let's just go home. Call it 14-0 Elk City. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Put a W in the win
column.
Well,
the way the game went last year, it could be 28-0 by the end of the first quarter. I mean, that's
point is, let's head her spool her up and head her home at 8 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock.
I was doing that. I mean, I shouldn't have done it. I was sitting there doing the time math in my head, and like, well, we're looking at bedtime at about 2 a.m. maybe.
What we ought to do is,
if we get out of there at, I don't know, the latest 10:30. It's a ridiculously long drive.
What we ought to do really and truly is
charter a plane.
That'd be sweet. Take off as soon as the show is over.
Yeah.
Our show is
over. I was seriously thinking this is a full day event now.
And then, you know, maybe head up there and hit Sunset Hills.
Is that a golf course?
It is in Guymon.
Okay.
And it's right by the football field.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. It's right there.
Okay.
It wouldn't be.
High praise for Sunset Hills?
Bah.
It's a golf course.
It is.
Better than no golf course, I guess.
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
So we could do that.
Might have to do that.
We could do that. How do you think we'll go?
Well, based on Google Maps, we'll go through like...
Canadian Perryton?
Exactly.
Okay. That certainly would be my idea.
That's the fastest route that it suggests. Their other options are up through Ellis County. You know what I mean?
Like
Arnett, Shattuck, mm-hmm. kind of that way. But this route told me to go.
Hit like Fort Supply and go west?
Yeah.
Out that way.
Yeah, yeah. But I think this route would be faster. There's some, you know, if we have to, like halfway points like Canadian, I think. Do you think?
Oof.
Maybe further north?
I would think so.
Feels like once you get to Canadian.
No, Canadian's like an hour and a half.
Yeah, see? So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, maybe so. I will tell you this. It's probably not going to seem like as long a drive as it did when we made that drive in high school on a Yellow Dog. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. God, I've ridden that up there too. That was that only time I went. Right there.
Probably won't seem as bad.
No,
I mean, it's like,
no.
I mean, you think about now in your life versus when you were 16 or 18 years old. I mean, you didn't take a bunch of 3-hour trips in a car. Well, you've taken way longer trips in a car now. So 3 hours is like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. Driven 10 hours before. You know what I'm saying?
I imagine, you know, remember back in the day, these, you know, kids who are listening right now don't remember this. You know, we didn't have iPhones or iPads to mess around with on a trip like that, but you know, when you're riding, we didn't have podcasts to listen to entertain us.
When I go to California, I'll take an apple.
What is that from?
You've never heard that? You never played that game?
No.
Oh, well, here's how it goes. Like, I start and I go, when I go to California, I'm going to take an apple. Apple for A. And so then you would go, when I go to California, I'm going to take an apple and a banana. And it just keeps on going through the alphabet, but you got to remember them.
Yeah.
All the way through.
Well, when I went to Guymon or took long trips like that in high school, I took a Discman. of course, you can only bring so many CDs. You can't bring your giant book of CDs.
No, you needed a smaller book.
You need a smaller book, maybe a magazine. But then at dark, on the drive back, couldn't really see. I mean, it wasn't a lot of options for entertainment other than the same CD over and over again.
You definitely, I don't know about...
The same Collective Soul CD I listened to over and over again.
I don't know what was going on in Clinton, but you could not have sunflower seeds on the charter bus at Elk City.
I don't remember the rules of food.
Our man Charlie.
I don't remember that.
Our man Charlie Armstrong, negative. Negative.
He could hear you crunching them in the very back.
Guaranteed. As soon as you even tried to like put one in your hand, it was like he had a sensor.
That's
like a salt sensor on top of your sunflower seeds, and it would start going off. The light would flip on. Who's got the seeds?
I don't know what he looks like, but I picture the bus driver from Happy Gilmore.
He's not with us anymore, unfortunately.
Okay, well.
It's not a bad, not too far off.
Okay.
It was great, but he did not want you to have sunflower seeds, which, you know what, at the end of the day, I understand, because who the heck wants to pick up sunflower seed shells all over the back of the bus when
no
kids can't be...
No guarantee they make them out the window or in the...
In a cup or a bottle.
Bottle. There's no guarantee that.
No, there's not.
There's always some kid that just ruins it for everybody and spits right on the floor.
And I'm sure that's what happened at one point. Some jackwagon messed it up for everybody after him.
Right. Yeah.
It'll be fun, though.
I remember on football trips in high school, I would always have... I'm a nerd. I'm a radio nerd. I was in love with radio back in high school and even before that, but I had a little radio after the games, the away games, driving back on the bus. I'm listening to, and they still have it, the
Friday Night Finals.
Exactly. And I'm listening, because that was your only source. You
we
didn't
turn
have
it
the
on.
Phone, you didn't have the Twitter, and I'm listening, oh, what's the Elk City score? What's the Weatherford score?
We would turn that
on. How the other teams in the district do, and just... And no one else cared. And I'm like, oh, guys, Weatherford lost. You know, just screaming it, and people didn't care.
Right.
But I remember that. But those are the shorter road trips.
It was the shorter one because we knew what the station was that was going to be playing it, right? I actually remember leaving the Tornado Bowl, 97, the regular season game between Elk City and Clinton that went to what, double overtime?
In rain?
No. That was my senior year.
That was a different one?
No, it was a beautiful day early in the season. Double overtime, maybe? I think it was double overtime. And we got, by the time we got back on the bus to head home, we flipped it on, and we actually caught Sean's live report to the Friday Night Finals guys.
Yeah.
Which are the same guys probably now that it was then.
Yeah.
The names stay the same. But, yeah, that's something we always did.
Yeah.
Was when we were in touch and knew what the station was, you know, coming back from Weatherford or coming back from Woodward or Clinton, maybe Altus.
I'm going to admit a guilty pleasure of mine. After a Clinton win versus a team who I knew was on the radio, I turn it to the opposing radio station to hear what they had to say.
Do you remember?
And I might have heard Sean and Justin and microphone Mike talking a few times.
Do you remember? Would have been probably 97 that same season when there was a the folks over east had the call-in show. You don't remember that?
No.
Yeah, that happened.
You called in?
I got pretty spicy.
Ooh.
I don't know if I ever called in, but it did get pretty spicy.
Who were you talking trash about? Okay.
Yeah.
Not that far east. I'm thinking, okay.
Yeah, like 40 miles.
Gotcha.
And in between.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was kind of a little call-in show for I-40 4A football.
But that's fun.
Trash talk.
That's the fun stuff, right? Back then, you can't do that now because then everyone would get all upset and you know, soft. So you can't talk trash anymore.
If we could have somebody go do the games for us, then we could sit in here and do that same show.
Ah. That'd be... I used to do a show like that. I would encourage calls. People just call in for their scores and do wrap-ups and stuff. It didn't really fly like I wanted it to. But the trash talk, man, back in the day.
That one didn't last very
back
long.
Back when there's a website you can go to and the forums that you could walk.
Are you speaking of Coach's Aid?
Yeah, I didn't know if I could say it.
Whatever.
We know the man who ran. Yeah. But, you know, that one was big. I remember going to the school library.
It was like
check that out and...
The call-in show is like a coach's aid for him, basically.
Yeah.
Fun times. I mentioned the state amateur golf tournament happening at Cedar Ridge up at Tulsa. A couple of guys, there actually ended up being three guys from Western Oklahoma Ties in the quarterfinals. There's two in the semis as we speak. So yesterday afternoon, newly minted Big Elk, just graduated, going to go to OCU, Trace Hill, beat Luke Phillips of Sayre in 19 holes. I was texting with Trace after it was over yesterday, and he said, man, Luke missed like a two-footer on 18 to win the match. And then Trace birdied the first extra hole, which was number one, par five. So Trace Hill advanced to the semifinals in 19 holes. He's playing Tulsa's Austin Hanna as we speak. And Austin Hanna won up through six. Trace won the first or second hole. Now he's lost two of the next few. Yeah, he won number one with a birdie. He's lost number four and number six. So he's one down through six holes. Also, Jake Bay from Shattuck plays at Abilene Christian. He was able to defeat Matthew Smith. Matthew Smith just graduated from Heritage Hall. He actually has ties back to Clinton. I think his dad is involved in the Elmer Smith Oil Company.
Okay.
Maybe even Elmer's son. But Matthew Smith lost to Jake Bay. Shattuck's Jake Bay is in the semifinals as well. He is playing Dylan Teeter of Bixby. And Jake is one down through seven. So both Western Oklahoma guys are one down, middle of the front nine. Interesting note, if Trace is able to win and Dylan Teeter is able to win, they are going to be teammates in the fall at Oklahoma City University.
That's cool.
So that's kind of, Austin Hanna and Jake Bay trying to keep that from happening. But really, really strong performances by those two. And also, give it up to Luke Phillips. He's a little bit of an older guy. I mean, I don't know how old. He's probably 30, low 30s. And he's played great golf all summer long. And just, I'm sure he's sick missing that shorty yesterday to win the match. And he would be playing right now in the semifinals. But congrats to everybody up there. And good luck to both Trace Hill and Jake Bay as they try to end up playing each other and bring that state amateur championship back to Western or Northwestern Oklahoma.
Speaking of golf, I'm a little sad.
How come?
I got real excited yesterday. I started seeing everybody started posting their rejection emails on social media for the Masters, saying I had not gotten my tickets or my rejection letter just yet.
Yeah,
I text you. You got yours. And I was like, what's going on here? It was about 11:20 last night. It finally came through. I didn't get it.
I actually didn't. I got mine at 3:40 this morning.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but
you can sign on, can't you?
That's what I did.
Yeah,
because I was thinking, man, it's middle of July. It always comes about now. Mm-hmm. So I actually went to the Masters website, logged onto my account, and they regretfully informed me there.
At least they regretted it.
They always regret
they
it.
Regret
and listen,
it.
I regret it too. But all the years of regret are going to be worth it when they what do you think
we
it's going to say?
We are pleased to
inform you
that you have been selected to pay us money for these tickets.
Gladly do it. I actually had the dream of going, and you have the same dream. We were hoping we were in position anyways to go to major championship golf back-to-back months in 2021.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with something. You I would trade my PGA Championship tickets in Tulsa to the Masters for the Masters tickets.
I think everybody would,
but it's not going to happen. So
it's okay.
The dream is over. It'll just be a one major year for us next year up at Southern Hills in Tulsa. We'll have PGA Tour Pro Rain Gibson in studio next Friday. He's going to come out and be a part of the KECO Open. So we'll have him in here, pick his brain. Now, do you know who he is? Do you realize who he is?
I'm sorry, I don't. I was about to ask, who is he? Tell me about him.
He's an Australian guy who holds the golf record for lowest round.
Okay.
He shot 55 at River Oaks a handful of years back.
Should we be announcing this? We might get people to quit or withdraw from our tournament.
That's been years ago. 55.
Wow.
Double nickel.
I do remember this.
Mm-hmm. So he's going to be here next Friday.
That's awesome.
Also tomorrow, Quade Cummins, PGA Tour debut as a pro, I think. I know he played down in Mexico, but that was he was still an amateur then.
Yeah.
The Mayakoba. I want to say this is his PGA Tour professional debut. Played on the Korn Ferry Tour. He Monday qualified a couple weeks ago. He's been doing pretty well on the Form Tour. But he's going to play up in the Twin Cities 3M. Tees off tomorrow. And, oh, by the way, in a weird twist of fate, you know who he's in the group with?
Who's that?
Rain Gibson. How weird is that?
Wow.
They're in the same threesome for the first 2 days.
I was like, hey, mate, well, I'm going down to Elk City. I'm from that. I'm going to go in that area.
You're yeah, I know. Mate. Quade's probably yeah, going like, why didn't anybody tell me about the tournament?
Come with me, mate? That's my horrible Australian accent.
Yeah, it was more.
But another
it's a little bit Scottish in there.
Shrimp on
me.
The barbie.
We talked best yesterday about Taylor Varnell, who got called up to AA Birmingham over the weekend.
So he got his first start.
Got his first start last night. He's now 1-0 in AA. He threw 5 innings, 3 hits, no runs allowed. Struck out 4, walked 1, and a 3-0 win for the Barons. So Taylor Varnell, 1-0 in AA with a strong performance last night. And then, I guess overnight, this happened. The U.S. women's soccer team.
Yeah.
44-game win streak snapped.
Oh, my.
As they lost 3-0 to Sweden. They didn't show up to play, but you know what? They showed up to kneel for our national anthem.
Yep.
They did that well.
I'm sure they're kneeling after they lost.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I said this in the open. The Olympics, you know, it kind of swells up the national pride. And you want USA, USA, USA. I'm not rooting for them. I hope they lose every game.
I'm rooting for the softball. But I'm not rooting for them.
I'll root for the people that don't disrespect the country.
Yeah, I agree.
And
I mean, that's as simple as that. I've voiced my opinion about the Olympics. I'm not interested at all because that is outshining the other stuff.
I saw LeBron. He's mad that the U.S. Olympic Committee itself talked about how, hey, don't go over there and disrespect America. He's mad because he can't, I guess, or that's happening. He's not even there.
Go away, LeBron.
No kidding.
Go away.
No kidding. Good. Yeah, great performance by hey Scott Garrison. There's your soccer. And if the U.S. women's national team will keep on losing, we'll keep on talking about it.
Ooh.
How about that?
Okay. We don't like the kneeling.
I don't like the women's soccer team outside of the kneeling. Where was Megan Rapinoe when you needed her?
Oh, boy.
Probably griping about something.
Yeah.
Maybe coloring her hair purple or blue or whatever.
Doing another Subway commercial.
All right, last night, game 6. NBA Finals, the Milwaukee Bucks are the champs with a 105-98 win over the Phoenix Suns. Milwaukee fell behind 2-0, win 4 straight. Jared, do you remember, I was going to make a clip of this, but I couldn't remember what day we did this. Do you remember if anybody in the show picked Bucks in 6?
Oh, good one.
Had to get it out there.
Yeah, good job.
It didn't look very good when it was 2-0 Phoenix, but I think maybe it took Giannis a game or two to convince himself that he was healthy or get back in the swing of things. But my gosh, when he did, Phoenix just had simply no answer. And that's not just a Phoenix problem. That may be an entire NBA problem on not having an answer for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Here's just kind of some of the things that he has accomplished either last night or with what happened as a result of last night. He's the only player in NBA history with 5 All-Star appearances, 5 All-NBA teams, multiple MVPs, a Finals MVP, and a Defensive Player of the Year before he turns 27. Nobody's ever done that. He's one of only 2 players with 33 points in a half of a Finals game. Pretty good list, him and MJ. He became last night the 7th player with 50 in a Finals game. LeBron in 18 and MJ in 93 were the last 2 to do it. He was the first player in playoff history with a 50-10 and 5 block game since blocks had been tracked in 1974. I would imagine you could probably go back and Wilt would have done that at some point with blocks, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But as far as since they've been tracked as an official stat in 1974, Giannis the first guy in a playoff game to go 50-10 and 5. Anthony Davis was the last one to do it in any NBA game in 1998 in the regular season. I'm sorry, good grief, 2018 in the regular season. He's the first player with multiple 30-point halves in the finals in the last 40 years. And he scored 20 and a quarter twice in the finals, and that hadn't happened in a single quarter since MJ in 93. You saw a lot of stuff, or I saw a lot of stuff reading up after the game was over and hearing the comments or whatever about, okay, move over LeBron, it's Giannis's league. Do you really think that's going to be the case? Should it be the case? Can he carry the league? Does his star power, is it widespread enough for his appeal? Or does it even matter? Should we not just be sitting here celebrating what just happened for the first time, what, since 2015, before Golden State became a super team, which was kind of an organically grown team, won the title as opposed to putting it together like a super team?
I love, you know, we were talking yesterday why we love this team, love this finals, because what you just said of how both these teams were built. You know, and I kind of turned and swayed back to Milwaukee being the team I'm kind of wanting to see it win based on the small market aspect of it all. But as far as Giannis being the face of the league, we've talked about that too. Is he taking that mantle away from LeBron? LeBron's not – he's got a firm grip on it, and he's not going to let it go. You see what I'm saying? He's always going to have to make him – I mean, he showed up at Phoenix sideline because – released a movie in the middle of the finals,
right.
You know, answer that question of, you know, is he going to, I think he's on his way to being the face of the league, but I think, and we've said this even way back when the season was first starting, I think we're starting to see a changing of the guard and a turning of the tide of how the NBA is not only played, but who is the face of the league or faces of the league with other young stars, like even, you know, Booker, Luka, Giannis, Trey, you know, goes on and on. So last night's win was very refreshing because I think that further pushes that narrative.
You know, and it's super interesting because what happened was great and you love it. And we got to enjoy just a fun watch.
Yeah.
As far as what the NBA Finals were. And one of the all-time greatest NBA Finals performances last night, it was. I mean, you can't – a lot of times you come in here after something happens and probably a little bit of hyperbole flies out and a prisoner of the moment of, oh, my God, that was the greatest this or that. This seriously was like one of the top
– oh, yeah.
Five performances in the NBA Finals of all time, if not even higher than that. Think of this, though. After everything that transpired and how cool it was to see those two teams, we were literally Kevin Durant's finger or toenail away from missing out on all of it. In Game 7
yeah.
of that Eastern Conference semifinal, when it looked like he had daggered the Milwaukee Bucks and his toenail was on the line, making it a 2-3, and the Bucks go on to win, and now here we are.
Well, think about Giannis and the injury, what could have been with the hyperextended knee.
Oh, I know.
A lot of question of, you know, there's some saying, and I was almost jumping on board with this too, that we're not going to see him for the rest of these playoffs because that was a bad injury. So to see what he did last night and then to think back about that horrible looking
yeah.
What we thought was a horrible injury. That's, I mean, we throw out greatness a lot, but I mean, that's.
His body was greatness.
That was just
being able to stave it off.
Yeah. So it was a fun, the playoffs. Listen, we hate where the NBA is right now, and I think we hope that it's turning like we talked about earlier. But the playoffs outside of, once the Lakers were done, and then Brooklyn was done. It was fun. Was it fun for you?
Oh, the finals was great.
The finals were great.
And it was the. I don't know if it's changing of the guard just yet. I mean, I don't know if either one of us sat here and really believes that the possibility doesn't really exist to a fairly high level. That next year's finals could be Brooklyn and L.A. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that could easily be the finals next year. And then everything that just happened kind of goes by the wayside, and we're back to that same narrative. Oh, we have to have a super team. But The one thing that was really, really refreshing was just to see a couple of guys, and Giannis even mentioned it. I mean, and pounded the table for it, literally, in the post-game interview, was I could have went to one of the super teams and taken the easy way out. Shots at everybody. I mean, you can't even – it's everybody. It's shot at everybody. But I didn't. And it means that much more. I mean, it's – you know, you could see Golden State wasn't a super team when they won the first time. That was drafted guys.
Right.
That didn't happen until they picked up Durant for the next two or whatever.
Right.
But even then, they felt like a little bit of a super team because of the breaks that they got with Curry ankles being hurt for the first couple of years and signing him to a nothing contract the second time, whereas everybody else had to pony up for their guys in the contract number two, and that allowed them to do a couple of different things. But this reminds me way more of like Dirk, of the 2011 Mavs, and just the journey, because Golden State, they really didn't even have a journey. Curry was hurt, then he got healthy, and then boom, they won. You know, there wasn't a bunch of scar tissue. That's the beauty of what just happened, is you could see on the floor after it was over, the respect that Giannis and Chris Middleton had for each other, for the journey, for the just how tough it was to finally reach the top of that mountain in the NBA. And I think that's the model that everybody, or at least I, gravitate toward way more than, hey, let's put this team together and win. You know, Miami, they went through the horrible LeBron finals of 2011, which Dirk controlled and won that title. But then right after that, boom, there they were, beating the Thunder, then beating the Spurs. You know, there wasn't – they didn't have time to have a bunch of scar tissue because they put that team together with superstars. Whereas, you know, you see Dirk with the disappointment of 2006, losing that finals to Dwayne Wade, and then coming struggling to get back. And about the time you think, well, it's just not going to happen for him, there he is, and he has one of those runs. I think that's where you start getting yourself endeared to these guys, and Giannis and Middleton particularly, for those 8 years being together their entire careers. And it was just cool to see those guys in a sports world where the easy way is taken all the time, whether or not it's the transfer portal in college to the super teams in the NBA. It was nice to see maybe a little bit of perseverance pay off with an NBA championship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm just clinging on the hope that this is the way it will continue to go. You know, now I'm rooting for teams like Atlanta and even Dallas, you know, who drafted their guys. I'm, of course, rooting for Oklahoma City, who, you know, let's see what they do in this draft. And can we, as Oklahoma City fans, you know, in 6-8 years, develop in what Milwaukee has turned into? That's where I hope this trajectory is going for Oklahoma City. Speaking of trajectory, where do you see Giannis going now? I mean, not leaving Milwaukee, but as far as his career is going, are you seeing any similarities from great players from the past? Like a Giannis, you know, here he was, eighth season. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, eighth year.
Finishes eighth year, has a title under his belt. How many more can he play? How many more titles could he win?
I mean, he's only 26, so you'd have to assume he's got a whole nother decade of dominant play. You know, where he's come from to where he is. I mean, there's obviously flaws in his game. Last night there wasn't, though. I mean, here's the deal. If he's going to make 70% of his free throws, he's unstoppable. If he's going to do what he did last night from the free throw line at 17 of 19, he's unfair. Because then you can't stop. You can't do anything if he's going to shoot free throws at an 85% clip. I don't think there's any way to limit what's possible with him. Because, quite frankly, I was trying to think of, like, one of my buddies had texted me, what's the comp for Giannis? Who does he remind you of? Who does he play like? And, you know, you're starting to hear kind of the Shaq comparisons. Part of that is because he's putting up numbers basically only Shaq has in playoff games. It doesn't seem like he plays that way, but it doesn't seem like he plays like anybody. Like, you know, there was David Robinson thrown out. I threw out, like, a not as good a post-playing Hakeem, just with body type and being fluid.
Is it too far of a reach of a Kareem?
I mean, he just doesn't have those post moves, fluidity, but he also can step out on the floor and work in the open floor and handle the ball.
He has a Larry
different
Bird,
than some of those guys.
He has a Larry Bird type game to him where he can spread the floor out, but he can get he's very powerful underneath.
Yeah,
you know, and that was very unexpected about Larry Bird. Is you know, a lot of people don't remember him as being a guy that could work it down low. They always remember the hook shots, the fancy passes, and the mid-range jumpers.
Yeah, I mean, he can't shoot like that. I mean, not even close.
No. But there's times he can, and there's times he can spread out that floor. He's hard to compare him to anybody.
I don't think there is one. That's the whole point of all this.
As far as playing type, but career-wise.
I don't think you can compare him to anybody. I think he's something we haven't seen.
Right.
And he'll be the guy people get compared to because he just doesn't – I mean, he's got parts of different people's game, but he doesn't really play like anybody that we've really seen at that size, with that skill level. You know, it's amazing as far as where he ends up. I mean, who knows?
He seems very cemented and committed to Milwaukee.
Oh, for sure.
Obviously, he signed the contract last summer.
I mean, he's not leaving there.
And he's not leaving.
He's not leaving
now.
There.
Now the question is.
Who will play with
Who's going to come there?
Well, I mean, you know, he and Middleton are clearly
the duo,
a pair.
Yeah.
And they're going to be a pair. You know, Drew Holiday, he talked about how they welcomed him with open arms. You know, he had a horrible finals from an offensive standpoint outside of game five, but he still affected the game in so many other ways. And I think you're going to see the beauty of them is because of kind of the one superstar mentality or makeup of that team. I mean, Middleton, for as good as he is, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's a superstar. I mean, does anybody think Chris Middleton can carry his team to a conference finals without Giannis? I mean, nobody believes that.
But he's a complimentary piece.
You know who he reminds me of?
Who's that?
Rip Hamilton.
Yeah. Yeah.
A really, really good player on a really, really good team. And can be the closer. And we saw it last night, as good as Giannis was with 50, when the game got tight, what was it, a four-point game?
Yeah,
a minute and a half left,
They
ran that set, top of the key, set a screen, freed Middleton for the jumper from just the right elbow extended, and he knocked it down, and sayonara. You know, that's the way they complement each other so well. I don't necessarily know that they're going to go on a, you know, four titles in 6 years clip, but I also don't think this will be the last one they win. It may not be next year, you know, but I can't see Giannis ending his career with just one title. That's how transcendent he seems to be right now. Mm-hmm. And he can only get better. He can get better.
He can.
He's just 26.
Yeah.
Iron out a few of the jump shot things. I mean, 17 of 19 from the free throw line is something that nobody saw coming. So, you know, it's in there, and it's just, especially for where we are and who we root for from a hometown standpoint, it's got to give you all kinds of good feelings to see that happen in that city, which is fairly similar market-wise to what Oklahoma City is, mm-hmm. and is going to have to be built the same way here as it was there. Giannis was the 15th pick. Chris Middleton was a second-round pick. Drew Holiday was a 17th pick.
That sounds a little familiar. I know we're
does.
Not going to use all three of our picks this year. I'm fairly
maybe
confident
not.
About
maybe
that.
You do though.
The first-round picks that is, but that what my point is: the disappointment of the lottery night shouldn't last very long because there's always going to be that hope of.
Well,
and Sam's history of drafting has been very good, and even if they and there's. Who knows? I mean, I'm not even confident we'll be using that sixth pick.
All this shows you is that, is it easier if you have a top three pick? Sure it is. But it's not impossible. You just have to select the right guy. You know, everybody's disappointed about the lottery, the sixth pick. I promise you, there's going to be somebody selected at six or lower that is better than at least one of those guys that are considered the top five, you know, five player draft. There's just going to be, and there's probably going to be one guy in that draft that's going to be better than three or four of them, if not all of them.
Yeah.
But you got to select the right one, and I think another thing that you see with Milwaukee, obviously the talent was possible with Giannis, and but I also think when you see the way that they competed and you see the way that they handled themselves, it wasn't just about pure talent. And for a small market team, you have to consider that. And you know, Middleton was talking about how we love to play basketball. And you know, that's what we always heard about those young Thunder guys as they were getting established. They were gym rats. And right. So that the small town, the small market aspect of where you live didn't matter because they wanted to be in the gym anyway. And it feels like that's the way Milwaukee has gone about it and got guys that have the same mentality of we're here to work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All the nightlife and all the craziness of the big cities and the big markets doesn't interest us. What does interest us is figuring out a way to get better and seeing this thing through and winning a title. And they did it last night. And it proves to anybody that argues against it, it's possible. Now, does it help to have a transcendent superstar of which we may have never really seen quite like him? Sure it does. But that's the task that you have in the draft. When one of those is available, you find him, no matter if it's at number one or if it's at number 15. And you find him, and it's possible to find him. What about CP and Phoenix? Where do they go from here?
That's a great question. I know he said he's
not retiring.
Yeah. I think what's his contract look like?
He's got a player option for like $47 million, okay. 1 year, $47 million. He can opt out of that and then sign less money per year, longer terms. Like, you know, I heard 3 years, 100 kind of bandied about. So that helps cap relief for the Suns.
Here's the thing. I mean, we love him. We love Chris Paul and what he's all about. And he turned into the nation's darling, wanting him to finally win this thing. But how long can he go? I mean, does Phoenix really want him that long?
That's a great question. It's something they're going to have to figure out. I mean, last night he was the best player on the Suns. He had 26, 11 of 19, 5 assists. I mean, and he probably has more than 5 assists if somebody else could have made a shot. They were 6 of 25 from 3. You know, the guy that would be kicking himself is Devin Booker. Booker was pretty bad last night. 6 turnovers, 8 of 22.
What do you have, 4 first half points?
Yep, missed all 7 threes. You know, he's a guy that not quite there. You know, I don't see why they wouldn't run it back, but the 3 years would scare me. If I'm Phoenix, I'm almost maybe hoping he picks up that option, pay him a ton this year, and then see. Because at 36 – you know, it's just that's old, and it's hard. Maybe it works better when, you know, one more year of Ayton, one more year of Booker, being more established. They don't have to have him on a nightly basis in a finals series the way that they kind of needed him this time. You know,
yeah.
So maybe the 1 year is better for Phoenix than the 3, even at that steep price tag. I think it's interesting because he clearly helped mold that team. But do you put so much stock on, well, they didn't get it done? Or, hey, we're right there. One more move to help these guys, and then we can get it done. You know, I think it's an interesting choice and something that they're going to have to figure out because those young guys are going to need to get paid too. Coming up here pretty shortly.
Right. Interesting.
By the way, the ratings, Game 5, 47% down from 2019. And maybe that's the, you know, we're both sitting here thinking Giannis face of the league can he be? It does he have the widespread appeal to do it?
I don't know if he can do it. The thing is, small market is still small market.
It is,
and you know the only ones we're watching was Milwaukee and Phoenix. It felt like
it was 9 million people watched Game 5 versus 18 million for Toronto and Golden State. We'll have to roll over that NFL talk to tomorrow. We can really get into that list of the top 32 teams, or the order of the league for the next 3 years, according to some of the ESPN folks. Update up the OGA State Amateur. Both matches have reached the turn. Both of the guys from Western Oklahoma, Jake Bay of Shattuck, Trace Hill of Elk City, fell behind early, but they both battled back to square the matches. So Jake Bay and Dylan Teeter all square through 10. Trace Hill's won two holes in a row to square his match with Austin Hanna through 9 holes. So barn burners again. It's as they get down to the wire in the semifinals of the OGA State Amateur up at Cedar Ridge in Tulsa, one of the harder golf courses in Oklahoma, from what I have been told. What else you got, Jared? Just small topics, kind of wrap it up for the day. What else interests you out there in the world of sports?
Is kayaking a sport?
Sure.
I went kayaking last night. Right after work.
Just to kayak, or did you like go out to fish in a kayak?
No. Well, yeah. Well, no. We wound up not fishing. I thought I was, but we didn't. So it was just kayaking. Me and my daughters and my dad went to Foss Lake and kayaked.
Really? How far did you go?
Not horribly far because I was a little nervous with the kids. First time we had this little kid one for my oldest, and my youngest basically sat in my lap or my dad's lap in our kayaks. But man, Katie, she got the knack of it, man. She just the paddling away, going fast, figuring out how to turn and all that stuff. That was pretty fun. Cool experience. Did that and got home just in time for the game.
Yeah, I mowed the lawn and got done just in time for the game.
I need to do that.
Question on the text line, where am I getting these updates on the OGA? Okay, it is okgolf.org. Okgolf.org. Front page has kind of a picture of Cedar Ridge. You click the link, and it goes to results. And then you click results, and it's boom right there. It's updating it hole-by-hole scores. As in, Trace Hill and Austin Hanna both shot 35 on the front nine, which is inconsequential because they're playing match play. But they both shot 35. The other match, Jake Bay and Dylan Teeter both shot 37 as they've made the turn. All score through 10, all score through 9 in both of those matches. There at the OGA State Am. Good stuff.
Very good.
Good stuff. We'll have some NFL tomorrow.
You know, we're fastly approaching high school football. I know we mentioned that earlier, but
yeah, we're going to start digging in.
Start to, we'll see if we'll maybe get some, do a little preview. Kind of want to do that, kind of leading up to it.
Oh, yeah, we'll have to start digging in and
get some coaches on and maybe give our thoughts, maybe a, I don't know, maybe a preseason district pick for classes 4A1 and what is it? Call it the A1.
Was it A2 last year? No, A2? They kind of split them up. Like, yeah, they did. It wasn't just everybody.
So Merritt was in A2, I think.
Yeah, and then A2. Yeah, Sayre, Thomas, so. They were A1 maybe.
They're A1. We'll look at those.
There's a lot of times that they're all in the same district.
What I'm really excited about football season, about high school football season, the certainty of it. Unlike last year, we were.
You'd like to think that's the case.
I don't know if we're gonna play this week.
You'd like to think that's the case.
It feels like this is all behind us.
It does?
It does to me.
What happens when, as soon as we get out the air, the Japanese minister of Olympics cancels it?
Well, that's in Japan. We're in Western Oklahoma.
You know good and well that's gonna influence.
I don't think it'll influence the decision makers out here as much as you think.
I hope not. I'm not going to hold my breath on that one, though.
Well, bite your tongue while you're at it, please.
I'm not going to hold my breath while I'm at it.
Knock on wood or something. You're about to jinx it for everybody. You're about to ruin it for everybody.
I'm not
Skinny.
Jinxing it.
Come on.
I'm not jinxing it.
They're going to go back July 21st. Aaron said that, and boom, look what happened.
Can you not see what's going on around you?
Hey.
You got to cover up for the bad economy somehow, so you got to shut her down again.
Yeah.
Well, that's why. It's not because inflation's 18,000%, and we put $20 trillion back into the just printed money. It's not why. It's because we had to lock down again.
Yep.
Let's hope not, Jared. I'm with you. Because you know what was pretty cool last night after everything that happened? The full stands and then the 65 million people. 65,000, I think, is what they really said.
Yeah.
Did you hear Van Gundy's quip?
No.
When one of the times they showed the crowd outside the arena?
What's that?
I think he said something to the effect of, oh, my gosh, I bet Dr. Fauci's stomach is in knots seeing that.
I thought that's a lot of vaccinated Democrats out there.
There was a lot of chin masks on in the arena.
There wasn't really a lot over the chin diapers being worn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of those. Wasn't necessarily over their face, but I saw this question asked. So if you are in the middle of that mass of humanity outside,
yeah,
what do you do if you have to pee?
Oh, boy. Excuse me.
You just let her go?
Excuse me. I got to get over here.
I think it'd take a while.
Yeah.
Better be good at holding
it. Something you plan for ahead of time.
You stay on the periphery.
Before I jump in that mass of humanity, I might need a...
Yeah, but you're there for 3 hours.
I know. I don't know. I think I'd plan ahead. You need at least try.
Pull up a chair on the outside with your Miller Lite and your cheese curds where you can get to a bathroom. Everybody have a great Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.